Good morning to you, good morning to you, good morning dear brothers and sisters, good morning to you. Now you're supposed
to you.
You reply back in song.
Good morning to you, good morning to you, good morning dear sister, good morning to you.
All right, I thought that would get you. It's nothing like getting a little boost there in the morning, especially on a cold morning. Coming down this morning, I had to scrape ice, and I thought, man, Ron and Nancy, I don't want to see them leave, but I understand why. Okay, now that we got good morning over, do we have any announcements pertaining to the church? Nance?
There's a bag back there with little toys. If anybody needs an extra little toy for their box, if not, today when I leave, I'll take them.
Well, if you don't mind, do you care if I give them to Sandy does the boxes?
That'd be great. I don't need them.
Yeah. Well, I think that they always are going to yard sales trying to find little animals that are in good shape.
Well, that's the thing I need to do.
All right. So I'll take. Don't let me forget that, Ralph, to take that bag of things back there. Yeah. Today is the last day for the Heifer Project, and also the last day for you to give me your orders. Now, that is your orders that will go to Weller to be packed. You still have a week or so left to do your own boxes. I think it's the Sunday before. I have to get with Pastor Tracy. I think it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. That he's offered to come and take the shoe boxes. So,
52?
All right. We only have, I got four last night. And how many did you do?
Four? I did two.
Okay, four and two is six. What did you hand me?
They're only giving one last night, two more.
Okay. Okay, so we should get break last year. I think last year was 54. Woohoo! That's good. Okay. Issue boxes, I think. Oh, what do you all feel? I wanted to take a survey. What do you all feel about? I know I've been hitting you hard with calendars, shoe boxes, and Heifer. Do you all want to support the food bank in the next couple of weeks to collect mashed potatoes or stuffing or whatever to give to the food bank for when they hand out their Thanksgiving baskets to the community? Do you want to do that, or you want to take a break and do it after the first of the year when winter hits? What are your thoughts? Because I know it's hard on everybody now. When you go to the grocery store now, it's just unbelievable. And feel free, give me your thoughts. You want to do it for Thanksgiving, or you want to wait till after the first of the year and do something then?
Take a break.
Take a break? Bob says take a break. Okay. We'll take a break, and unless they would email me. Sometimes they'll email certain ones and ask. But we'll take a break, and we'll do it after the first of the year when the cold weather is. Maybe we can do, well, we will be doing, because we'll be doing Super Bowl. I click Kansas Soup.
Plus, this will give us a chance to do things for the bake sales that we have coming up.
Right, bake sales. We're going to be having the bake sale at the butcher, but then we also will have baked goods at the table for the bazaar. So you bakers getting your stuff at home to be baking. Okay.
Debbie, I want to remind everybody that we have the sheet back there for any changes or additions to the church directory. And I'll probably leave it here maybe for another week or so, but then we'll be taking it and processing it and getting it updated in our new books.
Anyone else? Okay, I hear none. So the call to worship comes from Psalm 119, verses 137 through 144. Follow along. Where I err, you can correct. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your word. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for a beautiful fall morning, and we thank you for the beautiful colors that we see. Your artistry is just, well, it's compared to none. You are the perfect artist. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to come here this morning. We just ask that you would help us to stand strong, stand up for you. We think of that song, that hymn, stand up for Jesus. So, Father, please help us to stand strong. Help us to follow you and do your will and do your work, for the hour is soon approaching. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these favors and blessings. Amen. Now we can all participate in hymn 126. For those who can, please stand. And concerns, what's upon your heart this morning? Nancy?
We'd like to have prayers for safe travels this week, or whatever we need, we don't know. We found out about another aunt dying yesterday, so we don't know for sure. Out of Maryland.
I mean, just always continue.
Yes, I have Darlene and Jigs down here, but yep. I put the Baker family. I also have Wilton down here too. Wilton and Tammy, you got to remember caregivers, because that's a struggle too. Any others? My list is short today.
Just keep my list as well.
Jerry's list. All right. Any others? Well, Danny? Yes. Frank?
I've been having some problems with my fall, and it's caused me a little issues breathing and so forth. But anyhow, keeps me and my wife on prayer, and also tomorrow will be our anniversary, 64 years. The Lord for allowing us to have a very loving and faithful marriage. Mm. And we need to keep everybody in this whole world, leaders and specialists, in our prayers. Bring us together in peace, love, and harmony.
Yes. You guys are a true testament. For today. That is quite a feat, 64 years. Any others? Judy?
I know that none of the children are here this morning, but I think we should praise them for being strong and going to school these days. Tatum and Lanny both won awards this week for responsibility and leadership, and I think we should praise them for that.
You know what, folks? It would be nice if you put a little card in the mail, just a little written note saying, you know, way to go. Yeah.
We're thankful to have Brother Sam again with us.
Sister Jackie.
Yes. I was going to try and find an armor suit and wear it today, but I didn't have time to look.
Yeah, one more Sunday, I'll be.
Any others?
Pray for the election.
Yes.
For those who haven't voted yet, some of us have, especially for Perry County elections.
Yes. Make sure that you check the correct box, because we don't want Frederick County to end up like Montgomery County. But we're headed that way. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord, however you can do, if you sit or kneel, or however. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just lift praises to you. Our hearts are so joyed that we can serve you. Father, we just ask that where we falter or where we fail you, that you won't give up on us, that you will be there to direct our path and our thoughts and our actions. Help us to do what Jesus would do. Help us to live a life that would bring Jesus out in the midst of our actions. Father, now our list is long. We have many, many that are ailing. We have many that are having struggles. And you know each and every struggle, each and every need. Father, we think of the Baker family, the siblings, all each and everyone have some kind of ailment or struggle. We think of Wilton. We think of Jerry's list. We think of our congregation. Father, we don't have to tell you, we're getting older, and sometimes we have aches and pains that we didn't have the day before. So, Father, we just ask that you keep your hand upon us, that you would give us the health and strength of whatever we need to to go about our daily routine. Father, we thank of Frank, who's taken a fall this past week, and we just ask that you would touch him in a mighty way, that you would heal his ribs and just let him be whole again. Be with Pat and her ailments. Father, just thank you for the blessing of 64 years of marriage for them. We just ask that you continue to be in the midst. Father, we think of traveling mercies for Ron and Nancy. The travel will be long, and we just ask that you would be there. You would be at the steering wheel taking them safely. We think of our leaders, Father, not only in this land but other lands. Our whole world, Father, well, your world needs so much care, needs so much direction. Father, it's a task, a mighty task, but we know through your word that through you all things can be accomplished. We think of our election coming up. Father, help us to make the right choices. You guide us. And we pray that it would be a fair election. And we also ask that you would have your hand upon those candidates and help the Christian-guided candidates to get into office so that we can get our country back to what it was founded on, and that's you. Father, we think of Frederick County specifically. We need good leadership, Father, and we just ask that you put it upon the hearts of those that are voting that they would make a good selection and that it would be one that you agree with. Father, we think of our schools. There's so much turmoil in our schools nowadays. And I pray for those families out there that would like to have a change in schools, that they would get the opportunity if they want to take their child and put in a Christian school. Father, you make it possible. Father, we think of some of our young people here, like Tatum and Lanny, that got awards this week for responsibility. Oh, Father, we know how important that word is, responsibility. Father, we just ask that you continue to guide these young people. Keep them on the straight path, Father. Father, may they know the truths, your truths, and not the worldly truths, or lies, we should say. Father, now we just want to ask that you be with Brother Sam and Sister Jackie, that you keep them healthy and well so they can continue your work. Father, and as Brother Sam comes before the pulpit here shortly, we just ask a special blessing upon him for his labors of love. And we ask that the words that flow freely, that your words flow freely through him, for he is your servant. Father, and as we as listeners, may we open our hearts and minds that we can partake of the message today. And may we all, each and every day, when we go out the door to rub elbows with the world, may we carry that armor of God with us. Father, now we unite our hearts and our prayers in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know what I thought about this week? You know something that we miss blessing every Sunday? We don't do it anymore. And it's important to this church. It's important to his work. We don't bless the offerings anymore. I just thought about that. We need to incorporate somehow to bless the offering in the back. I don't know if we bring the box up here or what, but I think that's important because we should we should want his hand upon that finances so that we're doing his will. So let's think about how we want to handle that. And I was going to incorporate it today, but the short mind I have, forgot. Okay, now we can all join in hymn number 330.
We stand for him.
Songs like that. Do you remember when Brother Schilt would be up here?
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Those were good days. Okay, the scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. The sermon title is How to Win in Spiritual Warfare, and as Brother Sam said the last time he was here, that he's going to be preaching a few times on this warfare. So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Boy, we're hearing that to stand a lot today, aren't we? Maybe we should stand the whole service while you're preaching. No, we won't go that far.
I'll stand for you.
Okay. You stand.
Always good to be here and share the word of God. Ron and I confirmed with one another just a few moments ago that we had not gotten together on the video that he was playing with Dr. Jeremiah and when I was going to preach him. But one of the last words that David Jeremiah talked about, stand, was the first word we're looking at today. Stand. So I think that's probably the theme we should look at. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you. You've given us the whole armor of God. We're in a warfare. But thank you that greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. May we do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So today we're looking at the first three parts of the equipment of the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God has six parts. We'll look at three today, and then, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, we'll go back and look at the other three. But I want you to see, as we continue in this passage, Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore. When we have this armor on, the word stand means be ready for action. If you're going to take on the devil, you can expect he's going to do stuff. And I don't enjoy talking about Satan, and I don't enjoy all the stuff he does, but these last couple of weeks have been amazing things around our house. One of the things that the devil is doing is making my equipment break down. So I got a new shaver that's better than the old one. I got a new toothbrush, electric, better than the old one. So I think the devil's quit doing that because all the new things are better than I had before. Yesterday morning got up, and we have space heaters in our house to keep the propane bill from causing a mortgage payment or something. And touched it, nothing happened. Put a substitute heater in. Later on the day, it worked. The light on my desk quit working the other day. And it starts working again. So the devil just can do all these kind of things. You expect that. But stand means you're ready. Satan is attacking us. I'm not totally sure whether that's good or bad. If Satan is not attacking, does that mean he already has him? So maybe the fact that we're still standing means the devil hasn't won. And the church is still victorious. Stand, therefore. That is, in the previous verses, we have the whole armor of God. Put it on and be ready for action. The whole armor of God protects us. We're in a spiritual battle. We can't do it on our own. But God has given us protection. Before I went into ministry, I was a newspaper reporter for the Frederick News Post. Primarily, Frederick City Police, Frederick City Fire Companies, Maryland State Police, Frederick County Fire Companies, and then answering the phones. In those days, Independent Hose Company was downtown on Church Street, and their building came back on Church Street, and I was in the News Post office on Court Street. Our back doors would meet each other. And so about 10:20 one evening, here goes the Independent alarm. Siren goes, the trucks go. The editor said, Sam, find out what's on fire. So I went out the back door and went in there and found out it was a barn fire in Figgyville at 10:30 at night. Well, you know, if it was a barn fire in the country, you'd probably find it pretty easy at that time of night. So down 340 to Figgyville and got there, and the fire trucks were all there. I knew the firemen, so I was talking to the guy operating the fire truck and asking him various questions, writing down what's this and what's that, and asking who owned the place and how to start and so forth. And finally he said, you're going to have to go talk to the chief. I said, where's the chief? Well, he's down the word barn. So I left the fire truck at 340 and walking down the lane toward the barn. Do you know how hot a barn fire is as you get near it? I couldn't get out. I couldn't get there. The heat was intense. So I came back to Amazon. I can't get down. It's too hot. You have to know, a fireman had to know me to do this. He took off his fireman's jacket, coat, and gave it to me. He said, put this on it, you'll be able to go down there. Have you folks ever had worn a fireman's jacket? There's great big heavy jackets from the shoulder to the knee. And I thought, why do they have these heavy jackets on? It's already hot. I put that jacket on. I could not believe it. I could not feel the heat of that fire. That fireman's jacket protected me. I was able to go down to the chief and find out all that I wanted. Now, he didn't give me his helmet. He didn't give me his boots. So my feet got pretty warm, but I could stand around a little bit in my face. I just like turn the face back and forth. But that jacket protected me from the fire of that bar. The armor of God protects us from the fire of Satan. And when we think about the fire of Satan, just remember where he's going. We're going to heaven. He's going to the fire. So we want to look at these armor pieces. It says, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're looking at three of them. Having your loins girt about with truth. Now I'm going to read through these again and emphasize something. Having our loins girt with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod for the gospel. So we're going to talk about truth, righteousness, and the gospel. Having your loins. That's the part of the body where you get that inner energy. Do you ever get up in the morning and think to yourself, I just don't know how I'm going to get through the day? And then something comes up and God gives you that extra energy. Things come along and God gives you the strength you want. So it has the idea of God gives us strength. And the word girt means in the it was like a belt. It held everything together. This is the piece that holds all the armor together. You don't want it flying apart. You don't want part of your helmet going somewhere else and legs and so forth. So this holds everything together. If you know what it is, the garment of truth. I'm going to give some physical illustrations to prove that our American society is based on truth. From the secular way, when you go to a grocery store, that grocery store, Weiss, Food Lion, Costco, Trader Joe's, one in Woodsboro, one in Emmitsburg, Waynesboro, Frederick, all these. Everything in that store they sell is based on truth. Let me ask you a question. When you go shopping, you take along scales with you. You're going to the store and you take a scale. It says 5 pounds of potatoes. Do you weigh it? Make sure it's 5 pounds? Make sure it's not 4.5 pounds? I know they have a scales in the store. Do you weigh it on the scales? Are you sure the scales are crooked? So everything in that store, they guarantee this is 16 ounces. Can you pick it up? Can you tell whether it's 15 and a half or if it's 16 ounces? So everything they sell in that store is based on a truth. And there's a sign that says, 2 for $5. Let me ask you this. When you leave the store, do you check the receipt before you go too far? If there's a computer glitch, who's favored, the store or you? Now, it should be 50-50, shouldn't it? Probably 95-5. They're a benefit. And you're buying freshly picked cantaloupes. You get it home and you slice that cantaloupe, and what happens on the inside? It's rotten. Now, Elaine said, freshly picked. What are you going to do? Take it back. And the lady behind the desk says, it says freshly picked, which means it was fresh when it was picked in Autumn, Mongolia 2 months ago. Probably not. So you go to a pharmacy, 25 milligrams. Can you weigh 25 milligrams? Or are you depending on that pharmacy to tell you the truth? This is the medicine that the doctors prescribe, and they're doing it. How many of you get gasoline? How many use 87 octane? How do you know it's 87 octane? Can you measure it? And you got 10 gallons. So you have a gallon jug and you fill up 10 times and pour your tank. No. You accept that gas station is selling 87 octane and you got 10 gallons. You're trusting that's true. You buy a car. How do you know the mileage is correct? Remember in the olden days they used to set the speedometer number back a little bit? And you take the car in to get oil change. How many of you go back in the shed and watch it change the oil? You take their word for it. So our society is based on truth. We buy something. Truth. Now, of all the places that you can go in Frederick County, based on truth, wouldn't you think church would be the primary place for truth? We're not the only ones, but we're some of the only ones preaching the truth. Are there churches today that are not preaching the truth of the Word of God? I remember a church in February. The pastor on his first Sunday said, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are optional whether you want to believe it or not. Now, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Is that optional? Not at all. There was a flood. There was a Noah. There was an Adam. There was a garden. So we have people today that are not teaching the truth of the Word of God. Twice now, at least in funerals, I've heard a minister quote part of John 14:6, which is part of what I'm dealing with. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that second part of the verse, they omitted. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one's going to get there except by me. Now, could Jesus say, I'm the truth, and the last part of his statement, not true? You can't have it that way. So when we're girding about with truth, it means that which is true, that which conforms to reality. We believe what the doctor says. I don't always like what the doctor says. I don't like him saying, when do you want to schedule surgery? I'd rather not schedule surgery. Would you rather plan a funeral? Okay, what time are we going to operate? I don't like that. But my life has been saved by a number of surgeries that I've had in my day. And so truth is what holds us together. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. If you know someone lies, do you believe them less than? I have two neighbors were in discussion, and one neighbor said something to the other neighbor. And later when that other neighbor left, this other neighbor said, I lied to him. Now, he doesn't know that if I think one neighbor lies to that neighbor, he might lie to me. If people start lying to others, will they always tell you the truth? Liars lie to everybody. Now you think about it. Over here is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Over here is Satan. He's a liar. Question. Which one are you going to follow? Which one are you going to follow? One that's always true. Everything Jesus said is true. Everything Satan says is a lie. Do we know people that lie all the time? How can you tell when a politician's lying? His lips are moving. We have it. Last week in the debate, there was a video where the one said, I'm against fracking. And over here he says, I've always been for it. On a split screen. Hello? Where have we been? So, truth is important, but I'm telling you, one advantage of getting older, I've lived long enough to see a lot of things in Frederick County. And I'm telling you right now that I lived through the Bible departing from churches in the 1940s because my dad was in one of the churches where it happened. And Dad said, when the Bible goes, we go. So, we're wondering, why do we have the politicians we have? Why do we have the mess we have in America today? It began back in the 40s when you take the Bible out of the church, and what do you expect? So truth holds us together. The Bible says, put away lying, speak everyone truth to his neighbor. And then I was reading last week reading through the Bible. Three times the Bible talks about the Spirit of truth. So Jesus is true, the Father is true, the Spirit is true. So when we go against Satan, we know he's lying. Did Satan lie about Job, the Old Testament? Yeah. It irritates me that Job had to go through all those troubles because Satan's lying. But in the end, Job won, and Job was blessed greatly. So we have on that belt of truth. We have to be people of truth. We have to tell the truth. Doesn't always go nice, but truth conforms to reality, the basis of our society. The second part that we have, having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is something that covered from the neck down to the knee, below the thigh. It has two parts to it. The front part and also the back. Now, I've been told, and I've heard people say, that the armor of the believer doesn't protect the back because we never retreat. But apparently, this breastplate of righteousness was so big, it had hinges on it, and it lashed around back. So the devil can't sneak up behind it. Now, the devil might try to sneak up on us, but he can't sneak up on God. We know what Satan's up to, what's going on. But I like the word righteousness. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. What is Satan over here doing? He's accusing us of everything we've done wrong. It took me a long time to get over this. It irritated me. Satan tempts us and then blames us. Well, isn't that irritating when somebody eggs you on and then you get blamed for it? It happened to me in Sunday school so many times. As I said, when I was a child growing up, my dad was a judge, mother was a prosecuting attorney, and I was a defendant. And sometimes I defended things that I hadn't been accused yet, so I learned to keep my mouth shut. I get away with a few things from mom, but not from God. So we, Satan is saying, look at those terrible people. Satan points out our sins. Isn't it great that we're protected by God's righteousness, not ours? Righteousness and salvation. Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness would be like filthy rags. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When the Lord sees us, he sees the blood of Jesus covering us. When Satan sees us, he sees all our sins. But look where he's going. I don't want to follow Satan because I know where he's going. The lake of fire. Maybe Jeremiah talked about that a little bit. And then Philippians 3:9 says, be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God. Have you heard anybody say to you, well, I'm just as good as you are. Is that going to get them to heaven? Put it this way. Those of you that know me well enough to know, is my standard of righteousness good enough to get to heaven? You don't have to, you shake your head, that's about all, but please don't say amen. But it's not my righteousness. Now, we're going to deal with that in just a little bit, but my salvation is based on what Christ did. And the Passover, it was a Passover lamb. It was the spreading of blood on the door. And so today we are saved because we put our confidence in Christ. We admit that we're sinners. The seriousness of sin. All sin comes from the glory of God. What is sin is death. There's no one righteous, not at all. When we accept Christ and his righteousness is applied to our account. But then we want to live a life that glorifies the Lord. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. I don't enjoy, I feel bad when I do something wrong. What's worse than feeling bad when you do something wrong? Not feeling bad when you do something wrong. So partly it's good when we are convicted by the Lord. That means we're in God's family. when I was growing up. Of all the men on earth, I kept my eye on my dad. Because I knew if I got out of line, he'd put back in line. In fact, in those days, when kids got in an argument, you could tell whose father, who's the parents, because that's the kids they would take and straighten them out. We have a father that's straightening out of us. And what I try to do, when Satan points out our sins, say, thank you for reminding me of that, because Jesus forgave me of that. And the older I get, the more I realize how much God forgives us continually. Now, we don't continue in sin, that grace may abound, but Romans 6:13 says, yield yourselves that you may become instruments of righteousness unto God. And I certainly hope that we all examine our lives. There are things I've done over the years, and then I evaluate and think, you know, that might not be the best thing to do. And driving down on US 15 is one thing to be driving, but it's another thing to be going 70 and a 30 and a 55 miles an hour and think nothing about it, and then complain when the cops pull them over, or terrible accidents happen. And so we thank the Lord, His righteousness protects us. We're going against the most evil force in the world, and He can't touch us. Why? We have Christ's righteousness surrounding us. Which brings us to verse 15. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're going to talk about shoes. We have our loins of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and gospel shoes. You folks know you have gospel shoes. You ever go shopping for gospel shoes? So it says here, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I assume all of us have different types of shoes. The shoes I'm wearing right now, I don't mow the lawn with them. It's all right. I have different shoes. I have work shoes. I have boots up to the knee when it snows. And maybe some of you wear flip-flops from time to time. I don't. Because the way I walk, the first walk is flip, the second walk is flop. So I don't know. But do you shovel snow in flip-flops? I recently asked that question in a church, and Christina raised her hand and said, yeah, I know her, and it looks normal, but you usually don't do that. So we have different types of shoes. Now, what's important about shoes? What's your deciding factor of buying shoes? It's on sale, discount. That's the reason you bought it. Well, that may be one. Is that the determining factor? Okay. Is it the right style? Yeah, but that's not the determining factor. I don't know about you, but with me, the determining factor is, does it feel comfortable? I'm too old to wear shoes that hurt my feet. Enough things hurt my body now, I don't need shoes to hurt my feet. So we have the gospel shoes to share the gospel. Again, going back to David Jeremiah, what did he talk about? Don't get sidetracked. Share the gospel. Share the good news. Now it says the preparation of the gospel peace. It means that we should be ready to give an answer. In fact, 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of you, the hope that's in you. When someone asks you, how are you so sure of heaven? I'm so sure of Jesus. I'm not sure of myself. But we should be ready to give an answer. And when I was in high school, I lived for the Lord my freshman year and my senior year. But the two middle years, I could blame the church, but it's me. When I started living for the Lord in my senior year, I was a little more difficult because the previous 2 years I hadn't been like I should be. You a Christian doing that? So when I graduated from high school and became a reporter for the Fraternity News Post, I just prayed, Lord, day one, I'm living for Jesus. It's easier just to live for Jesus than to. You can ride two horses, but they should be going the same direction. And Jesus and the devil are not going the same direction. So I decided I live for the Lord day one when I became a reporter for the News Post. When I got my first police assignment, I've been there a few weeks, and the first night on the job, Lieutenant Phoebus said, you're going to see the other side of life tonight. So I'm not sure if the editor had kind of warned this young, he's just a graduate, just a farmer, and just a Christian. I don't know what happened. But they eventually began to call me chaplain. You know what? Made me feel good. It's terrible when you call somebody a name and they like it. I like the name chaplain. They didn't call me bartender, they called me chaplain. So it's a lot better if you just simply live for Jesus. And I'm not saying in your face living. I'm saying just live like God would have us live. Live like a Christian should live. On one of my birthdays, one of my granddaughters gave me a cap that has a lighthouse and the MM stands for Mark's Ministries. So I wear it Lowe's one day. I wear a cap. And as I'm checking out, the lady looked at me and said, what is Mark's Ministries? I forgot I had the cap on. I didn't have a John Deere cap. I had on Mark's Ministry cap. I said, Mark's Ministries stands for I'm a minister. She said, you must preach the gospel. I said, you must be saved. Yes. What I'm saying, there was an instant sharing, and other people kind of looking at us. But you understand, don't you? You ever see somebody that first thing you say is, that person knows the Lord? Walked into a Chick-fil-A recently, and a young teenager had on a t-shirt, the gospel changes everything. So I said, yes. And encouraged her, and others on. What is that? We understand what it is. Because when you know Jesus, you want to talk about Jesus. So shoes do several things. Protect your feet. Shoes protect your feet. Psalm 91:12. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. So I found out that by sharing the gospel, especially as a news reporter, it tagged me. They had never had anybody here like that, I guess. And so, not only that, but then they expected a standard of me that I did. They watched me closer than I watched me. And I realized they're looking for every little thing and say, yeah, you are a Christian, you did this. So I just prayed, Lord, you're going to have to help me at a higher standard because I want to share the gospel. We got shoes for the gospel. And assurance of victory, Joshua 1:3, every place the sole of your foot you tread upon, I've given to you. The gospel, the word of God, does not become void. Now you're witnessing, you're living for the Lord. If I ask you, when's the last time you led someone to the Lord, you may not know. But none of us know how our testimony may impact somebody else. If you're reading daily bread, and some of you have daily bread, I think it was Thursday. The testimony there was incredible. There was a guy that was in school and he was going to be a writer. I was in Southern California. So he wanted to write what it was like to be a football player. So he tried out for the University of Southern California Trojans, one of the big football teams in America. To his surprise, it made the team. So one of the things he did, he gave all his teammates a Bible. And he got a lot of static about it. A lot of opposition. And he kind of felt, gave out the Bible and nobody responded. He found it out years later. One of those players at a point in his life opened the Bible. This guy didn't know about it right away. Opened the Bible. He read the Bible. He accepted Christ. And shortly thereafter, he was killed in a tragic accident. Was it worth it to hand out the Word of God? You're living for the Lord. Who's paying attention? Well, we are to be a testimony and a witness and give the word of God to those about us. Romans 10 says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. When I think back over the years, I didn't choose to be born in a Christian home. But I thank the Lord for mother and dad. Thank the Lord I went to a church that taught the word of God. My dad's church didn't. We'd have to go to my mother's church and heard the word of God. Bible says in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, the gospel of peace. When you talk about being saved, some people say, well, that's the end of life. Well, I go get saved, I'll be miserable. Really? Do I look miserable? You're like, well, I'm going to hold on. No, gospel of peace. When you have peace in your heart with the Lord, I just don't know how people live that don't have the peace of the Lord. Let me just make a political statement. And next election, we're going to clean house and we're going to throw the bums out. How many bums are going to come in? If our hope is only in the next election, we're going to be disappointed. Now, I know I pray for the ones I voted for, but it may not be that. But I know I have a peace of the Lord in my heart. When we have illnesses, and probably most of you, sometime or another, you've gone in that operating room. Now, I'm a minister. For years and years and years, when people had major surgery, I'd go and pray with them. But then in 2003, it was my turn. It's a little bit different. When it's you on that stretcher going down the hall, and thank you for your prayers. Man, that operating room was so cold, and they kept putting stuff on me. Next thing you know, I felt nice and warm, recovery room. But it's different when you're there. But I had that peace with the Lord, going through some things that are difficult. There's nothing like the peace of the Lord. Go to bed at night and say, I hope to see the sun rise. But if I don't, I'll see the sun of God. Plan to live through the day. If I don't, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Can you imagine people going through life like this, hoping to get there? Our hope is in Christ, and he gives us peace. Then it says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Romans 5:21 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Philippians says, we have the peace of God. I trust God will encourage us as we share the word. We may not see instant results, but the Bible says the word will never return void. Many, many years ago, when I was pastoring in my wife's home church, Cumberland Manor, Maryland, I witnessed to a family, and I can remember very well visiting this family because they had two motorcycles in the front yard and two Great Dane dogs in the backyard. And I thought, motorcycles didn't scare me, but those Great Dane dogs, I thought, man, they'll tear me apart. But I went in, I witnessed to that people, and they were just like stones. I thought, Lord, when I get out of here, if I can get by those motorcycles and get in the car before I get eaten alive. And I went home, I thought, I shared the word, and nothing happened. But the word has never turned void. Pastor Dinsmore, Accotique Baptist Church, good friend of mine, a year or so later, called me one day, Brother Sam, how you doing? There's nothing. I can get back to this church. He said, Sam, do you remember visiting in Cumberland Manor in a home that had two motorcycles in the front yard and two Great Danes in the back? Do I remember it? He said, that couple is sitting in my office right now. They just accepted the Lord as their Savior. And they said, could you please call Pastor Martz and let him know about it? So what I'm saying, be encouraged. The word does not return void. This armor works. Put it on. Keep standing for Jesus. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you that the armor protects us in all areas. May we share the gospel in the way we live for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
starting in number 34 and stand if you're moved. First and last verses.
Gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.